The best entrepreneurs in the world are the ones that are able to iterate in real time, able to think on their feet, able to adjust the quickest with real time. Real time data is always coming in. When you're public speaking, what's one of the most important things about public speaking? It's reading your audience and being able to adjust and flow and ask the right questions. It's the same thing with business. You just go. And then once you get there, it's different. It feels different. It looks different. That first client is different. How they're going to say, wow, I like this. And you might be thinking, huh, I didn't even know that that was that good. And there's that feedback. Or they're going to say, could you do this a little bit different or better? And you might be thinking, wow, I thought I was really good at that. Right. And that's that real time loop that you only get when you're in the arena.
Welcome to the Rich Drummers Report, where we talk real estate, business, and wealth building, all while keeping it real. No fluff, no BS. I hope that you enjoy the show. All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Report Saturday edition. And I got two co-hosts today. I got Mr. Jeff Bomarito and Mr. Daniel Bomarito. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate you guys jumping on. We just had Mr. David August in studio. Arguably one of the world's most famous fashion tailors.
Amazing.
Oh man, amazing conversation. He was in here hanging out with us, ripping for a while. So thank you for connecting me, man. You guys are so freaking well connected to everyone. It's crazy.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. We try. The most important thing is good intention and trying to bring value to people.
Yeah.
That's everything we do is about that. So thank you as well.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you guys set up that whole thing out in Miami with Jordan Belfort and Wes Watson. And then later that night, we were hanging out and we're at the table. And you guys are like, hey, Ryan Garcia is going to pull up right now. And I was like, I told Presley, I was like, Ryan Garcia is going to pull up right now. I'm like, no shit. Sure enough, 10 minutes later, Ryan Garcia rolls through, like top two or three boxer in the world right now with like three bodyguards and his girlfriend. I'm like, damn, that's crazy. How do you guys know Ryan?
What a night. So a lot of these relationships, whether it's my brother or me or both of us, we're big on the metaphor of seed planting.
Mm.
Good intention, good energy, do it for the right reasons, and think midterm and long-term, plant a seed. And a lot of time, nothing's going to happen for 6 months or a year or 2 years. In the case of Ryan, it was probably a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing. It's like the notion of going from zero to one. Once you get to one, you're almost done. It's like the hardest part is to go from nothing to something. And then you can turn the corner and go. So these types of relationships come together over a long period of time. And not all of them work out. But again, with that good intention and long-term vision, patience, and persistence, it can come together. Yeah. And that's how it came together with Ryan Garcia.
And you guys are great at that. You guys are great at connecting people. You guys are great at getting your face out there and shaking hands. And I mean, I feel like everyone in the industry knows you guys.
Thank you.
You know, and speaks very highly of you guys as well.
Staying adequately in touch with people.
And in addition to that, I mean, shoot, you guys did all the artwork for our hotel down here in San Diego. We're about to go over to my high rise over here across the street and size up a bunch more artwork. But you guys are crushing the game. And with that, that brings us to today's topic. How can one, listeners out there, how can one go out there and start their own photography, videography business? So I guess first things first, for someone out there that wants to start this, I get this question all the time. It's like, what is the minimum equipment that one needs to go out and purchase in order to start their own photography, videography business?
It's really going to depend. You got to think about the why first. What theme are you after? Are you for interior design, for landscapes, for natural scenes to decorate homes and offices? Or are you more of a portrait artist where you want to capture special moments for people there, whether it be there?
Yeah. And then you got what? Weddings and events and lifestyle. Let's say mostly you're going to be shooting lifestyle shots for people. You're going to be taking wedding photos, children photos, all that sort of thing. What kind of photography or equipment does one need?
You're going to want to have a mentor and you're going to want to partner with a studio. You're going to probably want to learn in the studio with controlled lighting sources and controlled environment. And then your basic equipment for portraiture is a 50 mil. So what you see with your eye right now, just the standard view of what you see. And then you're going to want the zoom, the compression shots. So 70 to 200 camera lens. So you're going to want those two lenses, a 50 millimeter and then a 70 to 200 for those tight waist up shots to really bring out the features and accentuate the features of the person's eyes, their hair, their face.
I love that. I love that. I didn't, I didn't realize the lens was such a big thing until Parker was like, dude, we got to get some lenses. We got to get some lenses. And I was like, oh, yeah, we'll do it. And then we finally got them. And I was like, whoa, let's get more of those.
The lenses create the perspective. So you got to know what lens and why you're using that lens. So for a wide angle lens, you have to know why to use it. Because if you're using a wide angle lens for a open landscape and you're far away from the subject matter, it's going to be a lot of dead space. But if you're close up to a subject like a pier or a flowering meadow with the mountains in the background and you go ultra wide, you're going to create that sense of depth and take the viewer right into how you're feeling and what you're seeing rather than just being ultra wide far away. It's going to make everything feel small and disproportionate. So you have to know why you're using the camera lens. So for landscapes, you're going to use the opposite selection of lenses you'd use for portraiture. Portraiture is more close up.
Okay.
Detail. And then the landscapes is more wide to create that sense of depth.
You touched on genre. How does one that's new in the industry decide, okay, am I going to go shoot weddings? Am I going to go shoot lifestyle shots? Am I going to go out and shoot, the wild? How does one figure out what they're going to be most in tune with?
For me, it was easy because I grew up in nature, around nature, and that was always inspiring to me. And it put me in the present moment, and it was the novelty. I don't know what's going to happen next and everything that's going on with nature, the animals and the connectedness of all that and the beauty and the awe-inspiring beauty of landscape. So for me, it was natural. But for other people, I would say, if you don't know, if you're uncertain, join a group, practice with different subject matters, different lighting at night, during the day with people, and you'll figure it out. A lot of people have a general sense of which direction they want to go.
And just get out there and start shooting, because it's always different in the field. It's like, it's one thing to practice, for example, golf on the driving range. It's extremely different once you get out there, and you're gonna see things differently once you're out there. For photography, once you're out there capturing or video, and you bring content back to the studio and you start to run through it, you're gonna say, "Oh, this is not that interesting. Oh, wow, this is amazing."
You're gonna start to be inspired by certain things.
Yeah,
exactly about it. Like Tony Robbins says, immersion, get into it, and then you'll be able to pivot in these different directions based on how you feel and what inspires you and what other people are reacting to, how capture the subjects.
Equipment is important, but ultimately it's like, don't hide behind the equipment. Don't think you have to have it all figured out to get started.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there, do some research for a little while, ask one of us. We can put a list together and give you our recommendation and just get started. It's the Indian that's most important, not having the perfect arrow and so forth.
Yeah. You don't need the perfect plan to get started. Start and then figure out how. I totally get it. I can resonate with that. And one opportunity that I know, I mean, just personally being a real estate investor and entrepreneur in the space, with the way content is going and technology and social media, it's like building your personal brand is everything these days, especially for a lot of these entrepreneurs out there. No one knows who you are, it's going to be hard to sell your product no matter what line you're in. And so I know as a content creator, like, it's a massive opportunity out there for good videographers to go out, shoot content, they can edit, do the cool captions and all that sort of thing. Podcasting is huge as well. And so that's a whole nother area within this niche that folks can go in there. And I don't think it's that hard to find clients that are looking for that kind of work.
Everybody needs good content. Here's the thing. I mean, start out doing it yourself. If you get to the point where you can afford to have a capture person, a post person, meaning somebody that actually takes the photographs and creates the video, and somebody that actually does the post work and editing work, that's a great thing, and the AV work. But start out, if you're an individual, you're building your own brand, you aspire to be an influencer in some way to share your product or service, get the equipment as Rich is talking about, get started, and figure it out as you go.
That's so good.
Figure it out as you go, but speed up the process. You're going to want to have a mentor, somebody that can give you guidance. Because if you do it the way I did it, and we've done it the trial and error kind of way, it's going to take an extra, decade maybe.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know in the real estate investing space and, all these different spaces out there, you can go and find masterminds and paid coaching programs. Is this also the case with photography and video, is you can go find 100% paid mentorship programs?
Workshops, meetup groups, seminars, involve yourself with that community 100%. That's how you're going to grow the fastest.
Totally right. What I would add to that is it's easy to just start shooting everywhere.
Yep.
I think one of the things I'm always thinking about is optimization. You can find 20 different groups to go and meet up, but there is only so much time and you only have so much energy. To me, how do you find that right fit, that right coach, that right mentorship program for you? We're not selling anything. We don't offer that, but that person, the right group, the right meetup is out there for you. And so whether it's in real estate, in Rich's Mastermind, for example, I mean, find the right personality, the right fit for you, because it's going to save you not just the time calculus, but stress, opportunity costs. What is opportunity costs? You can't go this way and this way at the same time. You're giving up something. So as my brother was saying,
you really want to define the theme of where you want to go with that career. If you want to be shooting people and events and weddings, or if you want to do the podcasting, or if you want to do landscape nature, where you do the interior design side of it, abstracts, work with hotels, work with private collectors, take that route. So focus on the theme and finding a mentor. And then you could dial in the equipment. Once you get the set of the equipment, the wide angle lens, the prime, and the zooms, then you have all the specialty equipment. Just get your standard set of three or four lenses from ultra wide to a zoom. And then you're going to want to know the why. Why am I using that lens? Why use the zoom and shoot architecture from far away? Because you get the powerful perspective and the scale of the buildings, you know, versus, you know, close up with the wide angle and what sense of what's mood that's going to create and one sense of depth it's going to create as well.
Your biggest partner in a real estate deal is always your lender. For me, I prefer using someone I know, like, and trust, whether you're looking for commercial loans, residential loans, bridge loans, DSCR loans, no debt to income ratio, no tax returns. My guy, Chris Groves, has got you. As seen on episode 77 and episode 142, Chris is a good friend of mine and is doing a special offer for podcast listeners, $2,500 off of your closing costs and or appraisal fees. Visit grovescapital.com/richdrummers to book a free call. Again, it's grovescapital.com/richdrummers to book a free call. Now back to the show. I always say, like, whenever you come up with any new business model, it's like, go find your first set of clients and then everything will just kind of fall into place. You'll be forced to figure it out because you already have clients that are willing to pay you. But you know, from a business standpoint, it's like, okay, you go form an LLC. And that's not too difficult. For any folks out there that are looking for someone that form an LLC for you, you can go to primecorporateservices.com/richsummers. That's who we use to manage all of our entities. But form an entity, that's relatively quick and easy. From there, you get an EIN or a tax ID number, and you go down to your local bank or credit union. You can open up a business checking account, get a business credit card. Boom. You don't even need your own cash. You get your business credit card now. It doesn't even show up on your personal credit. And there you go. You get a line of credit. You go out there, start buying all your equipment, build out maybe a little website. I don't think it needs to be anything crazy. Just like a landing page with like some form where people can submit and inquire. And then social media. I mean, shoot, it's free to create an Instagram. It's free to create a TikTok and start posting about what you do. How does one go about finding their first client?
The one thing I'm very bullish about, very adamant about, is the path is revealed as you start to go down the path.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, take a metaphor I like to use is you're climbing a mountain and you have this plan, for example, or maybe you don't have a plan, you just get started. Once you get to a fork in the road and you get to a peak or what you think is the peak, you see things, a whole new paradigm opens up. And things reveal themselves. Once you start in business, it's different once you get there. It's different once you get that. For example, you get the first client.
Yeah.
And as you said, you just figure it out. You commit to something and you figure it out as you go. You build. It's like laying down the tracks right in front of you as you're going. That's what the best, that's what winners do. They ultimately figure out a way to build, lay those tracks right in front of them as they're going. So just go.
The best way to get your first client is to share what you're doing with your family and friends. Those are going to be your first clients, most likely.
Yeah.
And
people that already know, like, and trust you.
They like you. And then if it's with Portrager, boom, first client right there. Let me like make you look amazing with your business, you know, suit or whatever that headshot is that they might need, or that beautiful landscape scenic shot for their home or office. That's going to be probably your first client.
That's so good. I mean, everyone has a phone, iPhone, go through your contact list. Everyone has social media. See who you're following. Write down all those folks, friends, family. Pick up the phone, call them, and shoot the shit, you know, and say, hey, Mike, what's going on? What's new? What's the latest and greatest? And hey, they're going to ask you what you've been up to. Hey, I just started this new photography business, blah, blah. We're shooting for weddings, whatever. And just by telling people, like you said, I think what you're doing is going to be huge. But to your point, Jeff, I mean, I think those who start and then figure out how are the ones that find success in all these industries. Right. All these conversations I have with folks on the podcast, it's like, you know, most people, and I used to be this way, they have an idea, a business idea, like, okay, I'm going to do this. What's the target or whatever? And then they go in step two, they go in this big planning phase and they wait for the plan to be perfect. And then step three, they commit. But the problem is the plan's never going to be perfect to begin with, right? And so they never actually commit. But I think all the successful people that I interview on the show, they have the idea. And then step two, they don't go into a planning phase. Step two, they commit. They commit. Hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start this photography business. And then step three is they figure out how.
Well, the plan, exactly, as you said, you're exactly right. The plans are revised as you go. The best entrepreneurs in the world are the ones that are able to iterate in real time, able to think on their feet, able to adjust the quickest with real time. Real time data is always coming in. When you're public speaking, what's one of the most important things about public speaking? It's reading your audience and being able to adjust and flow and ask the right questions. It's the same thing with business. You just go. And then once you get there, it's different. It feels different. It looks different. That first client is different. How they're going to say, wow, I like this. And you might be thinking, huh, I didn't even know that was that good. Mm-hmm. And there's that feedback. Or they're going to say, could you do this a little bit different or better? And you might be thinking, wow, I thought I was really good at that. Right. And that's that real time loop that you only get when you're in the arena.
That's so good. That's so good. What can one make like doing, let's say, wedding photos, like one day event, wedding, you had a ceremony, reception. What does a set of photos go for?
For the whole entire event with the editing and a couple of small prints, you're looking at a few thousand dollars. It depends on what level you take it. If you're international, what your brand is, if you know the quality and artistry of your work. There's some top level guys that are international, shoot the European weddings and castles. And
well, for someone new starting off, maybe they get $2,500 for a wedding.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. 100%. So let's just say $2,500. And let's just say you do one a week. That's $10,000 a month right there. And obviously you're going to have some overhead, a little bit of time commitment. But I mean, a wedding is what you go all day on a Saturday and then you can spend maybe Monday editing, right?
There's a lot of, pre-production work. There's the production of the event. And then there's the post-production of the editing. So there's so much more work that goes into it. So when you really break down the numbers, you know, you're meeting with the bride and groom, you're planning the shots, you know, you're thinking about the lighting, where you need to pose them, every little detail. And then you're going to need to have an assistant and control the shots and the lighting and posing, making, because you don't get a second chance to capture those certain photos. So you might have to have a second photographer and then the editing and sorting and that whole process.
There's so much of the results in something like wedding photography is a correlate to your preparation. Preparation is you're expending time and energy and resources. You're learning about the client. You're learning about the venue. And so like most things in life that are worth it, there's a lot more that goes into it. Mm-hmm. Then there's the business development side, actually acquiring that client for once a week. Also, in the case of weddings, as we both know, we used to travel around the world photographing weddings over a decade ago. And you're planning things months and even years in advance. Mm. And so your schedule is tied up, not to talk about the downside, but as anything in life, there's the upside and there's the downside.
Yeah.
So it's a lifestyle, like a lot of things. It's a lifestyle.
So, okay. So to recap, figure out the genre. Are you going to do weddings? Are you going to do lifestyle? Are you going to go out and shoot cars? Figure out what that is. Get clear on that. Come up with the name. Go form an LLC, go open a bank account, go get the business credit card. Once you get the business credit card, then you have the credit to go buy all the equipment. What's one or two cameras you guys like?
The Canon R5.
Okay.
Great camera, good ergonomics, great lens selection, easy menu structure, all around a great camera. Not what I would recommend for landscapes because it doesn't have the dynamic range you need to push the shadows and highlights, but that's great for portraiture.
What's a good starter for video?
Video, also Canon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Canon, Sony. Canon, Sony, and I mean now Nikon is catching up. But
okay. Yeah, I like that. And then maybe some lighting. Anything else they need?
For portraiture, you're going to want a few lenses, the camera, potentially a second camera, because when you have fast action shots, like at a wedding where you have to change lenses, like the moment's happening fast, you got to have two cameras, two lenses, boom, 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 for a close up or for the kissing shot or for the whole wide angle, everybody cheering. Mm. So you got to have multiple cameras for sure.
There it is. Maybe a couple tripods, couple mics.
Couple tripods, couple LED lights you can hold in your hand. So
easy.
You're going to have to have a flash, but if you want controlled light, sometimes you'll want to have controlled light. You're going to want to turn that LED on, hold it one hand and then shoot with the other hand.
Easy.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely all that.
And then from there, you know, go on social media.
Backing up data. I have to say, back up data. Number one rule of anything in media to me is, other than anticipating the moment and being there for that moment, such as not missing the first kiss or the cake cutting, is backing up data layers. And, you know, not three sets of data right here in your pocket, but over there, offsite. I mean, you have to be extremely rigorous with data.
Double, triple backups, then you got to have it in the cloud. And then,
100%.
No,
okay, so then from there, start the social media, start posting, go in your contact list, reach out to all your friends, family members, tell them exactly what you're up to, get your first set of clients, and there you go. That's how you start a photography business in 10 minutes.
One other addition. So when we skip back to the theme, you choose your theme. So landscape, nature, interior design, or you want the people. From the theme, you want to go more toward a mentorship rather than just start buy equipment.
That's right.
He or she is going to guide you into what equipment and why.
I love that.
And then you can go ahead with...
Maybe this is the start of your guys... this is the birth of your guys' new mastermind, you know?
It could be. It could be. You know,
we do give personalized workshops to like doctors and people that want to learn very specific things, or that travel a lot. They want to capture nature or scenic photos from
their
travels.
What about all the folks from all over the world that want to learn how you guys did it?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to bomberitoart.com. Well, as far as that, exactly to your point, Rich, is... there's a lot of people out there. We were with Gary Vee the other day. I think it was him that said, mm-hmm. It's selfish to keep inside and hold back the gift you have to offer. I mean, it's come at a high price. We've spent our lives, growing and evolving and learning to get to this point. And the question is, does each person that's built something, you in real estate, in your mind and business, have an obligation? There's opportunity or obligation, or maybe both, to give back and contribute. And you can monetize that. You can still give back by and monetize it. It doesn't have to be all, pro bono.
I love it. I love it.
So
that's so good. Well, I think this concludes this episode of the Saturday Edition. Next time I get you guys on the pod, we're going to rip a long one. I want to dig in your guys' story, everything about you guys, what you guys are doing, why you guys are doing it, how you're connecting with all these big players, all your art pieces, and dive in. So we got to do that soon.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man.
They are Jeff and Daniel Bomarito. I'm Rich Summers. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in the next one. Peace.